conversations. We're playing for sheep stations. What used to be footy friends and fun, and now that Dino has come and gone, we're playing for sheep stations. We're playing for sheep stations.
Thanks for that, Turbo and Cleary. When I took the risk earlier in the year, and on Nico, not so fairly recently, killed me. Not doing it this time, also killed me. There's Supercoach for you. No common sense, no logic. Thanks for that, New South Wales. As a former Parramatta fan, it was so good to have something to cheer about last Wednesday. It's a real shame Guardsy's not joining us tonight to bask in the glory. I know I did think that Queensland would come out on top last week, and the two of you had the faith, but you know, I still enjoyed Origin very much. And also, this is the first time ever, but I'm going to shout out Todd Payton. Thanks for that, Todd Payton. Letting all your Origin players back up, because without that, I was in a fair bit of Barney rubble and wouldn't have fielded a team. Not that, Robson helped lesser sent Val Holmes, who's been pretty poor in the last little bit. So, thanks for that. Joined tonight by only you, Mark.
Yes.
Just the two of us sitting on the lounge. Guardsy and Dan are moving furniture, and Trainer is a proud father. So for our little boy, Alfie, so congratulations, Trainer. Thanks for that sleep. You won't see much of it. So just the two of us, Mark. I want to talk firstly, the multi.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the multi.
I was due.
Do you want to talk us through how it unfolded over the course of the weekend?
Oh, it was never in doubt, really, was it? I mean, Jai Gray subjected to a hip drop tackle, but he knew the weight that was on his shoulders. He rose from the canvas, scored a late try. Well done, Jai.
It was pretty
Thank
late
you.
Too, wasn't it?
It was. I was watching and I saw him go down injured and I thought, you're going to go off here. You clown. And no. Soldiered on, scores the try. I can't remember who was the second leg. It was Daniel Tupou.
Strolled over,
yeah. In a Roosters side that struggled. I actually tipped the Roosters against Melbourne, but they just got monstered. And Daniel Tupou, but they like to go that side. I predicted a kick, but I think it was through the hands, wasn't it?
I think so.
And then you've already mentioned him. In Turbo, we trust. I didn't trust enough to get him into my Supercoach team either, but he was in the multi and he brought it home. Well done, Tommy.
He looked amazing in that second half, didn't he? I think in the first half, everyone was a bit worried. The Titans probably actually looked the better team.
Yeah, well, they raced out and to an early lead and they were all over the top of Manly, weren't they? Like,
I think in that game, just to reflect on that game, probably not too many others, Carl Lawton had a really good game in defence against David Fifita. Bit like the Roosters, they just looked a bit flat after it didn't go fully their way. They didn't get on that forward roll, the Titans. But, yeah, what about Supercoach? How'd you go in Supercoach?
Well, I just mentioned that I didn't bring Turbo in last week. It was that kind of week. I think you had Turbo, you had a good week. You didn't have Turbo, you struggled a little bit. So I struggled a little bit. 1,154 points for me, so saw some red arrows. I dropped 708 spots and now sit in 9,409th position.
And Guardsy's not here, but I know that he saw a few red arrows as well to around 600th, so not doom and gloom, and it's only 1 week. His big guys in Jerome Hughes and Jaden Campbell didn't fire for him this week.
Yeah, it was interesting, that Melbourne game, wasn't it? Not, he only scored 30 or something.
Yeah, 35
Jerome,
or something like
so
that.
There wasn't much attacking stats in that game.
Yeah,
so
wet, Melbourne, cold, pretty dour. But so if you had a bad week with 1150, I had a shit week then. well-cooked Angus limped, and I'll say limped, to 1,108, down 1,500 spots to 11,516. So let's move on very quickly. My new recruits in Connor Watson and Ryan Pappenhausen combined for a beautiful 73. I had the money, well, very close to the money. I had a boost and I could have boosted. And if I could have done Cleary and Turbo in two moves, I would have, but I was 35,000 short of doing that. So I decided I'd go very conservative, pick up Watson and Pappy, hopefully Pappy probably looked further forward to Parramatta this week and a pretty good draw after the Roosters, but I certainly didn't think there'd be 145 points between Pappy and Turbo. But that just shows that's the kind of year I'm having, the decisions you make. Mary, we'll talk about the Wags team. She made different decisions than I did and went considerably better. So another exciting thing this week, Mark. You know what's back? The Bundy Mixer.
The Bundy Mixer
is back.
You know Thursday night footy is, you know how much, is the women. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know how much we love the Mixer. I have been a winner of a weekly prize in the Mixer last year and won a Bundy party shirt and a Bundy mug. I went camping the first time and someone stole my Bundy mug. It was the only good thing I got. But I think if I got too close to the fire in the party shirt, I would have been on fire. Bundy Mixer, six players, three men, three women. Got to be in by Thursday, but you can probably pick one up later. Go to the NRL.com or go to the NRL app and you can just search through and join the Mixer. I'm not sure if we'll do a league this year. I don't think anyone's as interested as we are, but I'm certainly going so poorly in Supercoach, I'll definitely be joining the Mixer.
Yeah, that was the kicker last year, wasn't it? I think I was doing pretty poorly and had a good first couple of weeks in the Mixer and was all aboard. But
yeah. All right, round 21, 8 games, thank the Lord. We've only got one team on the bye, which means I should be able to get a team each week. Only the Knights not playing this week. We're into the official run home. Buys are gone, like the big buy rounds are gone. Key Supercoach points from team list Tuesday, what are they?
Well, as I mentioned, we start the NRL fixtures on Friday night, 6 o'clock. It's the Warriors and the Tigers. I think a few people were talking last week that RTS might have been a sneaky pickup last week. And he moved back to fullback after that early injury to Tua Picky. And he looked pretty good. He's been named at fullback again with Nickel Klokstad out for, I think, there was talk that he might be back next week. He might be one or two more weeks. But he actually looked pretty good last week, Roger. He looked very dangerous, I thought, every time he ran the ball. So he's back at fullback this week. And Fenua Blake back to a bit of form, try-scoring form, tunned up for the first time in quite a while. So he was back amongst the points last week. And Mitchell Barnett.
Freak.
Yeah. He's just gone to another level this year, as shown by his selection in Origin.
Got the captaincy as well, I did notice. Yeah. So he's certainly leading by example there at the Warriors.
So they're the big talking points out of the Warriors team. For the Tigers, there was talk today, I noticed, that Appy was going to be named in the halves, apparently trained a little bit in the halves during the week. But Latu Fainu, one of the 85 Fainu brothers at the Tigers this year, is playing at 7, replacing the suspended Aiden Caesar. I think that's maybe the second or third time Caesar's been done for a hip drop.
Maybe he can't help himself.
This year, honestly. Appy does return in the number 9 jersey. De Silva, who had a pretty good game, I think he got 90-odd, drops back to the bench. There's a few outs. No Dewey, no Clemmer, which is probably beneficial to the Amazing. Tigers because he is
slow and old and
well
rubbish.
Past it. And John Bateman, they're all missing.
Well, Bateman's gone.
Is he?
Bateman has taken up a Super League contract.
Yeah, right, again.
He's gone immediately. Apparently, I heard on the radio this afternoon, so there I don't know go. If that's fact or if that's just me after a long day at work dreaming that, but I'm pretty sure Bateman's gone.
There you go. So Isaiah Papali'i returns.
Huge news for Reuben Porter.
At lock, yeah. Reuben Porter back in the back row. And Alex Seyfarth back on the bench. So rest assured, Tigers fans, you will have another player in the sin bin this weekend.
That'll be about 17, under 17. I do wonder if Fainu doesn't go back to the bench. And De Silva, who had a cracking game last week, teamed up beautifully with Lachlan Galvin.
Mm.
They're the future of the club. I know Fainu probably is a little bit too, even though he's probably a couple of years away with Jerome Luai coming next year. But I can kind of see a world where De Silva starts, Fainu goes back to the bench, and then they take De Silva off and put Appy back into 9 and bring Fainu on. I just think it might be a lot to ask him to come on and play. I don't know. That's just, who cares? It's the Tigers.
Yeah, true enough.
As long as they keep losing.
Second Friday night game, 8 o'clock, Parramatta versus the Storm. So I'll be turning the TV off after that first game. Dejan Arce retains the 7, with Moses gone for the season after leading the Blues to a mighty series victory. If only he had that calibre of player around him at Parramatta, that would have been helpful. Maybe I wouldn't have jumped on board the Panthers bandwagon.
I think it'd be helpful if anyone had the New South Wales pack around them, to be fair.
True. Trent Barrett's got word during the week that he's been let loose, so he's decided he's just going to shuffle the deck chairs on the Titanic this week. He's Lane and the Cardi party back into the back row positions. Madison at lock with Charlie Geimer gone, I think, for the season.
Syndesmosis injury.
And Wiramu Greg starting at prop. The other one I noticed there is he's got Joey Lussick back on the bench ahead of Matt Arthur. Anyway, who would know? The Storm, they're unchanged. They're starting 13 with Welsh and Asofa Solomona coming back on the bench. So McDonald and Chan, who's suspended, make way there. And Munster, keep an eye out. He's named on the extended bench. So
Anderson named after hyperextending his knee in that last play that shouldn't have been a last play because it was something happened before it.
Pass, I think,
if that wasn't his best game in the NRL last week, I'm not here. He looked
He was gone for all money, didn't it? But I think Bellamy, I was watching an interview after the game on Fox, and the doctors, I think, ruled an ACL out pretty straight away, and they were pretty comfortable that he just hyperextended his knee. So it's obviously not too bad.
Yeah, which is good news for him. As a local boy, local Central Senior.
Butcher boy. Moving to Saturday's games, the Broncos in unfamiliar territory. Saturday, 3 p.m. up there at Suncorp Stadium against the Bulldogs.
How do you think they'll go not under lights? Well, they know what it is, the sun lighting the stadium.
Yeah, might be disorientating for them. Selwyn Cobbo, named return on the wing. Dean Mariner retained his spot in the centres there, so
he was pretty good, though. I actually thought that's how the season would start.
Yeah.
So Dean Mariner played pretty well in
the centres. Well, maybe Billy Slater's not the only coach Cobbo's going to be off by the end of the week, so who knows? Who knows? Hetherington comes into the back row in place of Piacura, who I think suffered a groin injury, but he's on the extended bench, so he's potentially some chance of playing there. It's an interesting bench for the Broncos too, I noticed, with Moser and Smoothie both named on the bench. So presumably Smoothie comes on and plays that lock role again for Kevy. The Kevolution is on. And then the only change for the Dogs side is Hopoi onto the bench for Chris Patolo. Otherwise they're unchanged from last week. The middle game on Saturday, 5:30, the Cowboys against the Sharks up there in Townsville. Valentine Holmes named on the wing for the Cowboys in a swap with young Jackson Purdue. That's his name, isn't it?
Who's a halfback.
Is that right? Yeah, there so you go. He looked pretty good, actually,
last week. Tipped to be the halfback next year for them. With a shot and Chad.
With the Chad gone. That's the only change for the Cowboys. And for the Sharks, Liam Eisen debuts at fullback with Will Kennedy out suspended for that vicious hit on Adam G.
So my understanding is Liam Eisen was at the Panthers behind Dylan Edwards, was in their flag or one of those teams. So he's been across at the Sharks for a year or two. I saw a photo of him. He looks a bit like Dylan Edwards' love child, to be honest. So wait and see.
Well, the Sharks will be hoping that he plays like him.
Absolutely.
And the only other change there for the Sharks is Talakai back from his suspension on the bench. So they had the bye last week. So interesting to see. Well, it'd be interesting to see whether Trindle can keep up the Supercoach output. I think, well, there was a couple of weeks ago talk about people jumping on board, but he's pretty price. I think he's like mid 500,000s, but
not for me with the other people available.
Certainly not in that halves set up. Anyway, the final game on Saturday night is the Roosters up against Manly. Satili Tupanua still in the centres. There was some talk going around that Manu might have made an early return, but he's nowhere to be seen. Not on the extended bench, I don't think. So they've got the bye.
Interesting that Michael Jennings is in 18 and they've got Tupanua, who struggled, I feel,
defensively like just for speed, didn't he? I think he got burned a couple of times. Crichton has been named to play. Again, there was some news floating around on X, called X these days, that he went for a precautionary MRI scan on his neck after he injured it early in Origin, but he then played against the Storm and went for the MRI after that, but he's been named. And
I feel like there's a lot of people on X that throw a lot of shit at the wall and hope something sticks.
Yeah, that's right. And Spencer Leniu into the starting side, with May dropping back to the bench. Lindsay Collins into that starting side after starting on the bench last week too.
Bit of a nervous time for May owners if he's in your front row rotation, because not starting probably means he could get anywhere between 30 and 60 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be...
I think he got 45 minutes last week.
Interesting to see what Leniu's stint is starting there. So what sort of minutes he can punch out as a starter there.
Anyway. He's a bit like Royce Hunt. I don't understand why you change what works.
Yeah, the sting's out of the game a bit and you'd send him on off the back fence.
I think gone are the days where if you start off the bench, you're considered a lesser player, because I think if you look at Spencer during the Origin, he was massive for New South Wales and a huge part of why they were so good, because they just kept that role going when he came on. And I think that's really something that, I don't know if the same reward is starting anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, for Manly, Hopewade's out with a fractured eye socket. That sees Talau move to the wing, Burbo into the centres, and Corey Waddell comes into the back row. That's the only change there for Manly after they turned on, about 50 minutes of football and put 40 on the Titans. So
I actually think I said it last week, Ethan Bullimore off the bench has been a really big thing for them through the middle.
Turned it. He made that break through the middle to get him back into the game, really. Yeah.
So I think he's not someone for Supercoach, but no. I think when he comes on, it's worth watching again this week to see who follows him through, and I think he was pretty influential there.
Yep. On to Sunday's games, we've got the Dragons and Penrith at 2 o'clock. Lomax and Hunt return for the Dragons, so Ravalawa and Marshke are out. Raymond Fatala-Marina returns to the back row, which sees Leilua drop to the bench and Jack Bird to 18th man. For the Panthers, all the Origin players except Dylan Edwards returning. Edwards, I think, what did they say, 2 to 4 weeks with a PCL injury. Weeks, yeah. So you'd expect, given how they're travelling, they probably put him in a bit of cotton wool and it'll be closer to the 4 than the 2, you'd imagine.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. And Casey McLean keeps his spot in the centres with Paul Alamotti gone. I think it was a broken arm. Yeah.
Really interesting one there. I'll talk about that a bit more with some strategy around trades and the thoughts around needing a deep squad.
Yeah. So the Sunday 4 o'clock game is the Dolphins and the Titans.
Plenty of points here, sure.
I've actually written that down here. It's the same 17 for the Dolphins, who pushed the Panthers to Golden Point without their Origin players last week, only to be sunk by Nathan Cleary. The Titans also keep the same 17, but there's no funny buggers from Dez this week. I don't think Brimson's named anywhere in the squad at all. So he obviously didn't come up from that groin injury. He looked pretty average when he played. So he's not even named this week. So if you're Keanu Kineona, then you can breathe a bit easier this week.
If they set the overs in this game for anything in the 40s, I'd be taking the overs.
Yeah.
I can see this one being a 30-28 or a 36-34 kind of setup.
Yeah, well, the Titans, especially have that sort of game in them, don't they?
Remind me very much of the Maury Boomerang. We'll score more than
you. We'll just score more than you. Yeah, we don't care how many you score, we'll just score more.
Yeah. Good to watch.
Yeah. And that one, be especially good if you're a Fafita and Jaden Campbell owner, for instance.
Definitely.
That would be nice to see. The final game of the round is the Raiders and the Rabbitohs. They mustn't like the Rabbitohs, sending them down to Canberra at 6:15 on a Sunday evening. I imagine it will be nice and balmy down there. The Raiders retain the same 17 as last week. And for the Bunnies, Michael Cheekham moves to the centres for the injured Sir Dick Kenner. Jacob Host comes into the back row there. It's a shame Gardsy's not here, because the Raiders looked a hell of a lot better with Jamal Fogarty back, and his former man, Hudson Young, was the beneficiary of that early on. Two quick tries, and it was made for some interesting reading in the group chat anyway.
Gardsy was just happy for Hudson.
He was, yeah. He was over the moon.
You can imagine.
There
was no soft vaginas, and there was no foul talk of
No. No, no, he's just happy for him. A young Maitland boy, just very happy for him.
Yeah. And I was just happy for Damien Cook to be a
goal-kicking
centre in his 200th game for the Bunnies, which I thought was quite good. He actually made quite a fist of it. He's getting good at this centre business.
Well, and if he had a kick the week before, they might well have won that game too.
Yep. So, this could be either a really good game or a really poor game, because Canberra are the best at dragging you down to their level and beating you with experience. Fair dinkum. They are so bad to watch that I don't know if I'll tune into this game. I don't have any players playing in it.
I've got Cody Walker, so I'll probably watch on.
Yeah, so I don't have Cody Walker, and I don't have anyone else, and I don't have huge interest in getting anyone else. Just a really tough slog, 6:15. I know Dan's not a huge fan of the 6:15 game on a Sunday. But I think it's here for a little while, isn't it? They're going to keep the women standalone on a Thursday
night. Yeah.
So that it makes for a late Matty John show, which I don't love. So, but yeah, there's quite a bit of movement. If only we had, I don't know, 12, 14 trades like I was hopeful.
Be nice, wouldn't
coming
it?
Coming out of the Origin period, but not to be. So we'll just have to get on with what we've got. Well, no Guardsy means no angry fans. I'll do a little rant for him. There's a bald dog. Who's a ref? There's a soft vagina who makes shit decisions in the bunker. And what else? Oh, he couldn't be too angry because the Broncos won. He'd be angry with Hudson.
He'd still be angry at Corey Oates.
He'd be angry with Corey Oates. He'd be angry with the judiciary putting Ola Kawatu out.
Yeah.
There'd still be a few things. So picture that kind of content in
games. Angry with Queenslanders, especially Queenslanders from New South Wales.
But anyway, so we're going to go straight into questions. And there's no one to shake their head because the first question's coming from Dom this week. But for the first week, he's got three questions and they're three absolute rippers. He must have known
the
Guardian trainer weren't going to be here, because he's actually asked three really good questions that I think there's going to be a lot of listeners want answered. He talks about getting to Cleary and how do I do that. He says, Jaden Campbell or Sam Walker to Cleary, who to hold? And it's a really good question, so I did a little bit of digging. Cleary, for everyone who hasn't looked, he'll be the most traded in player, like it's obvious. Cleary, we'd hoped he'd lose a bit more, but what did he bust out, 108 or something last weekend? Really needed him to bust out about a 60, so he could lose plenty of cash. He only lost 60 grand. It's still a steal at 744,700. Here's the news. Jaden Campbell is at 812,600. Reasonably high break-even, but he could get that break-even this week, let's be honest, in that game that we've both kind of predicted. Break-even of 109. Dolphins, Broncos, Sharks, Dragons, Roosters, Knights, Panthers is his run home. Like the Dolphins draw. Don't know about the Broncos. I'm still not convinced of which Broncos is going to be there, and they're only one injury away from being a shambles again.
Yeah, they played them earlier in the year, and it was that type of game you talked about. It was like 36-32 or something. And
the Sharks don't worry me too much from a defensive point of view. I think they can get plenty of points put on them early, and the Titans seem to be a team that get a good jump on teams like they did against Manly. The Dragons, depends, Jekyll and Hyde, which one turns up. The Roosters, I think that's a pretty tough game. The Knights, it depends on what's happened with the Knights. If Ponga and Co have clicked. And then the Panthers in the last round. If the Panthers are secured in first or second, we've seen that they'll rest players, so it could be a good draw. On paper, it looks a fair bit tougher than Sam Walker, who go Eagles, Dolphins, bye, which is the tricky one. Parramatta, Titans, Raiders, Souths. That's an absolute gun draw for anyone who's got stocks in the Roosters. The difference is, depending on how you need to get to Cleary, if you need to make some money, I'd go Walker. I'd go Jaden Campbell, because you're going to make, what's that, $60,000 out of going. Jaden Campbell to Nathan Cleary. Hello. If you had told me that at the start of the year, you would have taken it with both hands. Or it's going to cost you about $90,000 to go Walker to him. So if you've got a bit of money in the bank and you're pretty well set up everywhere else, you could take a bit of a punt. Jaden Campbell's pretty heavily owned, I think, after the last few weeks, especially in the top 10%. I don't think Sam Walker's going to be as highly owned, so he'll be a bit of a pod play. And if you can cover that buy, he's the one I'd keep. I think I'd sell.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think a lot of people are going to be selling Sam Walker to get to Cleary this week. So it's, you can have a little point of difference if you're able to keep him, especially with that
good run home. Like after that buy, I think they're going to be fighting tooth and nail maybe to stay inside that top four.
Yeah.
And they'll be pushing all the way to try and get a home final, which I think is pretty important. So, Dom, started on fire. Good question from Dom. Well done. Maybe if Guardsy and Trainer are listening to this, they can take notes that Dom's turned the corner and he's got some good questions. His next question, Crichton or Barnett for Kai Pearce-Paul? Another good question, because it is a bit of a quandary. You came up with a really good point. What is it about Barnett?
If you've got, I mean, Barnett's been killing it. He's got like a 5-round average of over 100 or something, I think. So there's no doubt about his credentials at the moment, but he's pretty expensive. And I think 40% of teams have Adam Fanua Blake in the front row. So your problem, if you bring in Barnett, is going to be when you get to that last round, you're going to have Adam Fanua Blake. Depending where you've got Mitchell Barnett in your team, he's got dual front row, second row flexibility. But if you have Fanua Blake and Barnett, especially together in your front row, there's two of your front rowers who are gone in that last round. So it's okay, I guess, if you can hold a trade or maybe two into that last round.
Or maybe three with a boost if maybe you're really killing it.
Maybe three with a boost, but just be mindful that you're going to get stuck with, well, you're potentially going to get stuck with two, admittedly, gun Warriors players in your team for that last round.
Who are you going to have, though, against the Tigers, the Eels and the Dolphins in the next three rounds, then the Eagles, Dogs and Sharks before the bye? I think the thing that pushes me towards Barnett, if it's not cash dependent, because Barnett is $840,900, as he should be with a 105-round average, is that he's only owned by 10%. He's going to be really difficult for people to get to. I think the captaincy, no Tohu Harris, his minutes are going to be good. If you can cover that last buy round, like you might know Adam Fanua Blake, or you mightn't have any other Warriors stocks, he's certainly someone that you can buy, hold till that last round, and then if you do keep one or two trades, sell to whoever you want.
Correct, yeah.
And you could get a great point of difference player. You're probably going to get a guy that's going to be a minimum 70. I think that's probably his floor at the moment with playing front row and playing the minutes that he's playing. I just love that he's only 10% owned, and I think if you're trying to make moves up, or if you're looking for someone who people aren't going to have in head-to-head finals, like, let's be honest, I'm coming 11,000. Dom, I don't know where you're coming, but I think head-to-head this year might be gone. The KFC, the Sox, the Glory, it's all gone. So we're probably starting to look towards, can we get some bragging rights in head-to-head if that's the way you're inclined. I know Dan is. I know Guards, he'd be like, what's head to head? Don't even know it. But if that's the way you're looking, Barnett's going to be a great point of difference for your head to head battles because he's only 10% owned. Angus Crichton, $756,700, coming off a Wally Lewis medal, 49% ownership. He's probably at that price going to go up in the top 10%, so he's going to be difficult to make moves. Same draw as Sam Walker, obviously, because they play in the same team. Eagles, Dolphins, bye. Para Titans, Raiders, Souths. With his schedule over the last month or two, it wouldn't surprise me with their second row depth before the finals, he gets a little bit of a rest if they're cruising. in games. I know it's not necessarily Angus's style. He'll probably give the people's elbow to the trainer trying to get him off. But I can imagine Trent Robinson's fairly influential in managing how he's going to do that. So if the money's not the problem, Barnett's my man, I think, in that sense, because you want to have that point of difference player, particularly coming from where we are coming from, Dom. And his last question, Iro a hold or go to the hammer? He's just worried to have hammer and chopsticks, Asako, for the run home. Iro is 75% owned and the hammer is 6.7% owned. Iro's just a tick over 500,000 after a good week and he's only got a break even of about 30. He's finally scored a try, another try. I think that's his second for the year. Hammer 639,500. Titans, Roosters, Warriors, Dogs, Melbourne, Broncos, Newcastle to go home. Some tough games and some good games. The Hammer's really relying on attack. And if the Dolphins drop off like they did at the back end of last year, which I think they've made it further this year than they did last year. They pushed Penrith all the way there last week. I really like Bostock, how far he's come along as well. Like he's pretty good and making breaks and backing up breaks in the Hammer. I just don't know if Iro's the guy to sell. Like, I think he's just pretty standard meat and potatoes. He's going to get you 50. Showed you on the weekend, if he scores, you'll get in the 70s. If he happens to jag a double, he's going to get 100. The Sharks have got a pretty good draw home, I think so.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Like, as always, they never seem to play a top 8 team.
Yeah.
They must play the Tigers 3 times, like the Titans 3 times. It just seems like they're never in a hard fixture. And when they do have one hard fixture, they go on to 4 or 5 good ones.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know that one. I don't love the draw for the Dolphins. So, I'm probably leaning against holding Iro. And I can't imagine you've got a million trades to make. And it just seems like one that's not going to do all that much for you. I'd look elsewhere on that one. Thoughts?
Oh, I agree. I mean, having said that, he can, the Hammer can jag you 2 or 3 tries. He's got that quality. He's got that quality that you and I both have that you can't coach, speed. Oh, so
yeah. When we're going to the buffet,
like I think he burnt Nathan Cleary there at one point on the weekend, and so
I think there'll be plenty of coaches looking at sending very fast players at Cleary. Look at the grand final when Ezra Mam used a bit of pace to get on the outside of Cleary. He did look a little bit. It's the one thing I've seen Cleary struggle with is that lateral movement in defence to get to the man on the outside. So,
but yeah, I mean, I don't hate the move to the Hammer because he has that upside. He can get you a couple of tries. He can get you 100. But as opposed to Iro, where you know probably high 40s, low 50s is the floor.
I'd probably be looking if I wanted to pick a guy like Hammer, I'd probably look at going someone like Mulatalo or Amazi or someone like that. I think over Iro, who cost you nothing. He's just pretty.
Or wait for a couple of weeks and go to Joey Manu.
Yeah, I don't even love Joey Manu necessarily, but yeah, I don't know. I think if you want to, it's not the worst pod play, is it?
No.
But probably not one that I've got. All right, this is going to be a quick question. Josh, Cleary a must-have?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's... Righto, Tony. Is Tommy a must-have after another masterclass? Minus 30 break-even, projected to go up 91,000 to over 900K. Really tricky one, this one, because last week was clearly the time to get on. Thanks, Captain Hindsight. yeah, tough one, because he was 810,000. Or no, he was... What was he last... You could have got him to 700 and something last week. 174,
I think,
after updates, which is unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
like you said, it was either the haves or the have-nots, and the people that were able to VC or captain him.
Yeah,
like there's a massive, massive difference when it's so tight.
Yeah,
well, I heard a stat.
It's 200. So I captained Ruben Garrick, who got 82 or 81 or 82 or something. Like, if you captained,
it's like having an extra
100.
Yeah, a couple hundred points. So, I did hear a stat that if you're coming 400th, you're closer to 5,000th than you are
to first. Yeah.
So, someone who captained Trbojevic can jump an amazing amount of spots in one week. So, I don't love it. They play the Roosters this week. We watched Pappenhausen struggle a little bit against the Roosters. Granted, it was in the wet and it was a night game in Melbourne. And the Roosters didn't really click. But I can see a world where the Roosters have got the shits. That's who they play, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, the Roosters have got the shits and come out and just really close it down and are really physical and just make it a bit of a dour affair and make it a real struggle. I don't think Manly's got the same forward pack that can get on the same sort of role. And I don't think, I just don't know that he's going to have it all his own way this week. Then they go into a bye. I think you're chasing last week's points if you pick him up this week. You clearly had a plan. I had a plan to pick him up after the bye. I didn't think he'd go 174 and shit me off and get over 900K. So my plan's probably going to have to change. I bought Pappy in last week. He really didn't work out, but hopefully he works out against Para.
Yeah.
He could score 150 against Para and he could really close the tides and we could see a world where, I don't know, the gap's not as big and it's
possible. I think in that fullback spot too, you've got blokes like Walsh. Ponga's a probably a good option in a couple of weeks.
Depending on what happens with Latrell.
Yeah, Latrell. So
Edwards is back in 3 or 4
weeks. I think with those other options, I don't know that I would say that he's a must-have. I think if you haven't got him, I won't be buying him this week against the Roosters and then heading into the bye. So
there's a world where if you've got Jaden Campbell sitting down in your fullback slot, at the moment, there's not a lot of difference between them in price.
Yep.
I think there's a cause that you could, if you're not going, not using Jaden Campbell to get to Cleary and you're going to use someone else, like if you've got Wishart or somebody up there and it's not costing you huge money, you can nearly go sideways Jaden Campbell to Tom Trbojevic this week. I'd do that.
Yeah.
I would definitely do that because I think Tom Trbojevic over the rest of the year is going to significantly outscore Jaden Campbell, probably even with the week off. We saw on the weekend that Jaden Campbell's got a 35 in him. I'm not sure, all things being equal, no injuries, Tom Trbojevic has got a 35 in him.
Not a fullback. In the centres. Not a fullback.
All right, Gaz asks, is Pappy a hold or sell? Fairly easy next 3 weeks. I'm a Pappy owner. I went him because I looked further forward than just the Roosters game. I thought he'd do better last week, but His next few rounds are pretty good. He's got Para this week, and then I think they go into a reasonably good draw. So I think if you've got him, you just hold him. I don't have enough trades to just keep whizzing people in and out. So I've made my bed, and if it puts me to 15 or 16 or 18,000, who gives a shit?
Yeah, and I think too, months to back either this week or by the looks of it, definitely next week, I think opens it up for Pappy as well. He's not just really relying on Jerome Hughes to create. It takes a bit of the heat off those other playmakers at the Storm. Gives him a bit more opportunity, I think, for attacking stats. So,
and playing lesser defensive sides coming up. So I think stick with Pappy, mate.
I certainly wouldn't be selling him this week coming up against Parramatta.
No, absolutely not. So reasonably high break even, but at the end of the day, he's playing Parramatta. All things being equal, he could score 3, set up 4, and any luck, Nick Meaney gets a little slight niggle and he kicks goals.
Late in the game.
Why?
We'll know later on.
Oh, God, who gives a shit? You got one last week. Change it. Mike says, I need a 2RF mid-ranger to free up cash to make money to upgrade at fullback. So fullback's a tough one. Mm. If you don't have two of, like, I consider Pappy and those guys all guns. I think you need two guns in fullback from now. I don't think you can have a centre in your fullback slot any longer with how many things there. So he's looking for a mid-range 2RF to be able to downgrade someone to make some cash. Who did you find?
Oh, the one I found was Dylan Walker for the Warriors, largely because he's going to play big minutes. Tohu Harris is gone for the season. He just seems to have his hand in everything. You watch the Warriors there, he touches the ball plenty of times, plays big minutes. I think he got 80-odd last week. He's got a break-even of 8, so he's going to make you a bit of money.
Best of all, owned by 1.3%.
And
he's only going to cost you $469,000.
So
if you're selling someone worth $650,000 or 600, you can make 150,000 to 200,000.
Yep.
So I think that's a good one. I couldn't find too many others. Teague Wilton at 400 and something, but he's coming back from injury. Not someone I love. I love this name of the next questioner, Trumpster. thoughts on downgrading Iro or any other centre wing for McLean with Alamotti out with a broken arm? I hadn't thought about it too much until I saw that McLean was named. He looked pretty good. He's on the left side, which does concern me with Luai coming back, because we saw how much ball Talon May got earlier in the season. But Luai might have been making a statement. Because
just didn't like Talon May.
Just didn't like him. So it's not the worst. The reason I say it's not the worst, and I mentioned it earlier, everyone's looking to free up some cash, and everyone's looking at either enough. Well, why wouldn't you get enough playing for the Premiers in the centre with a guy out with a broken arm? He looks like he's won that position. So, and if he doesn't get it, well, he's turned into enough.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a lot to lose out of that. If you've got a few trades and you're trying to make some money, could be something that the old Wags team felt by a Gagai does this week to try and really build a war chest and go to town, especially with the amazing moves made last week. So I don't mind that move. Would it be Iro? For the reasons I said before, I think he's pretty consistent. I could potentially see, with the draw coming up for the Dolphins, if you own someone like Isako and you're pretty strong. So if you've got five or six, how many can you have? Six, seven?
Seven.
You can have seven centre wings. If you've got five or six strong ones and Isako is one of them, I could see a world where you could sell someone like Isako.
Who hasn't set the world on fire.
He's about 500. He's only in the 500s now, I think, isn't he? He's not.
I think I sold him at a tick over 600 last week.
Yeah, so I think he would have lost money. But that still makes you 300,000, which gets you a pretty good upgrade somewhere, particularly if you're looking, particularly if you're forward, like your front row depth is pretty shit with some buys coming up for people like Terrell May. And if you've, you know, I just think there's a world where you might need to find a fair bit of cash to upgrade a Sam Hughes or, heaven forbid, what's his name from the farm?
Farmer Suli,
yeah, if you're still stuck with him. Okay, PK, need to sell two of the following players to get Cleary and Turbo. Hughes, Brown, Galvin, Campbell and Tamari Martin. I think it's a pretty easy choice. I would sell Campbell and Tamari Martin. I would keep Hughes, Brown, Galvin. Brown hasn't set the world on fire, but he's still...
But I think... I was listening to another podcast, and I think he's only scored under 50 once this year.
And that's what I mean. Galvin was one of the most sold players last week, poor people. And I know that one of our...
Yeah, I did.
You sold him?
Yeah.
For 103?
Yeah.
I know Guardsy had him riding the pine, just didn't like him last week. I was in the fortunate position where I had to play him because it was either him or, I don't know, I can't even remember, St. Pugh's maybe.
Yeah.
Who I had to play last week. I think Brown's someone who's just, especially with Moses out going, he's pretty much the man there, isn't he? So I know they've got a hard draw, but he's consistently been a good scorer. I know a lot of people are getting off Brown. I just think Campbell's so heavily owned that it makes perfect sense to me to cash in. Like, it was everyone's plan to get him and hopefully get close to Cleary. Well, now you're not just getting close.
You're making money.
So I just think that that's a pretty easy one. So... what are your thoughts? Tamari Martin obviously is a certain sell to me.
He's gone off the boil a little bit the last couple of weeks. He just didn't look very good at all last week.
I think that ties in with Dylan Walker coming into the team to play a lot more at 13.
Yeah.
And the way they're playing through him. I know Harris is a lot like that, but he takes a lot more hit-ups.
Yep.
And I just think that, I don't know, Tamari Martin's role has changed somehow. I can't really put my finger on it.
And Sean Johnson is due back in a week or two. And that for whatever reason, Johnson and Tamari Martin just don't gel together. Yeah.
And I don't think Munster coming back for Hughes is a huge issue. I think
no. It
probably helps him as well. Like, just, I don't know. So that's where I'd be headed. John, Wishart or Plath to Cleary this week?
I'm selling Wishart to Cleary. I don't own Plath, but that's probably the way that I would... go there. I just think there's going to be some uncertainty around Wishart's role in that side moving forward. Munster is either back this week or next week. What does that do to Wishart? Does it push him into that bench utility role? Does he come on and spell Harry Grant? He's obviously, I don't think, going to get 80 minutes. I just think you've made some money out of... I think you've made your money out of Wishart. I'd be moving him on.
Yeah, I own both, and I'm selling Wishart this week for all the reasons you said. And I also like the versatility of Plath. I can flick him up. I can sell a second row and move him up into there if I really like someone. Someone gets on a tear in the halves, so that's where I'm headed there. Righto, trades. That's questions done and dusted. Trades. What do you got? Who are you trading? How many trades you got? What do you think? I can tell Guardsy would say, I'm not making any.
Not making any.
But I reckon he would have. Of course he still got some left. I don't know. But
he's got to get Cleary in. How many trades do I have? That's a good question. I think I have...
Do you want me to start?
No. Before trades this week, I've got nine. I've got nine trades left.
That's good.
So this week, I am going Wishart to Nathan.
You made three last week.
Yeah, I used a boost last week. To get some money into the bank. So I've got like $350,000 in the bank at the minute. So that was, I used the boost last week to downgrade, to put that cash in the bank. So I am going Wishart to Nathan Cleary this week. I was thinking about...
That only costs you just over $100,000, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is so good to be able to...
Yeah.
And the points that Wishart got during the time that there was a bit of a halfback shortage, he's really... He's been my buy of the year, I'd say. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to make another trade. I had tossed up, I've written down here, Paul Pierce, Guardsy's man Paul Pierce, to Connor Watson. But I think I might wait there because on the buy, he's not going to lose any money. Watson got that 30-odd last week, so I haven't looked what his break-even is. But I ultimately want to get Watson into my side. I might even wait till after the Roosters have a bye now to do that. But I do have Jaden Campbell at fullback, so I might just move. Yeah, Connor Watson, 101 break even. I might just move Jaden Campbell to Tom Trbojevic.
Kind of. That can't be. Can backfire. But. I'm only making one trade this week because I'm not as flushed with trades as you. I've got six. Before trades this week, I'm only making Wishart the Cleary. Leaves me five trades, $118,000 in the bank. I've made my bed. I've got a pretty shit team. I don't know how I've ended up there, but I don't have the players in the positions that I'd want. I thought I wouldn't make as many moves during the buy rounds that I have, which has left me fairly short trying to get a few of the Origin guys back. So hopefully they don't go as well as they were going before they got chosen. But yeah, this hasn't been my year. It's another year where I've promised myself I wouldn't make stupid trades, and I've certainly, out of half the trades I reckon that I've made, at least half the trades have been stupid and ones that I regret. Onto the Wags team, which is a far bigger success story for me this year. And I was talking to Mark before we went on, and I said I literally give Mary 5 minutes of advice a week. And then she makes a decision. Some weeks she goes, I don't feel like trading. And other weeks she says, I want to make three. When she found out she could boost, she made five boost trades in a week in a row. But she's sitting with nine trades as well before this week. So that's pretty good coming out of the buy round. She only played with 16 last week. So felt by a gag eye, you'd think she might have struggled. But scored 1,412 with 16 players. Ola Kawatu sitting on the pine. Appy sitting
One of them. One of them was worth four players.
One of them was worth plenty because she was very smart and VC Tom Trbojevic and quickly did the loop. The loop worked. So that was a good thing. So not a bad round. And I think this week... I'm not sure on what trades she's going to make. You talk about yours and I'll have a look.
So Allison had a bit of a fall from grace this week. 11-20 she scored. As you can tell from that score, she is, like me, turboless. Or she was last week. So she dropped to go over 1,200 spots to 11,572nd.
Got her.
She is running low on trades. I think she might only have four or five left. So she's only going to make one trade this week as well, and that's to bring Nathan Cleary in.
Yep. So Mary's trades this week, two sharks out. Hines and... Teague Wilton, and two Panthers in, Nathan Cleary and Casey McLean. Cash-wise, that will leave her with $441,000 in the bank and seven trades for the run home.
She knows she can't take it with her, doesn't she?
She's looking for a sale. She's a bargain kind of gal, so she'll look for a bit of a fallen gun with a good run at the back end to make a few little moves.
She's looking for that DCE cooler combination of...
of last year,
2024.
Yeah, so this week, vice-captain Turbo, Captain Cleary for her. I'm certain that she can make that work, but I'm not sure because those two games are quite late in the round, it makes it a little bit difficult, I think. So she might have to rethink where she goes with that.
It's the order. I didn't even look at the order of the games.
Yeah, it makes it a bit
When I did the team.
Makes it a bit tricky, I think. I don't know that she's got anyone that she can sub in because all the other players that she has will have played, I think, before Turbo pretty much, I think, just the way that the week falls. But if she can make that happen, that's where she's going to go. She's going to captain Cleary this week, just with him looking so good last week. So
I think he'll be the most popular by far. I'm going to have the C on Nathan Cleary this week and have a look at the VC. I'm not sure.
So VCs what my and Cs are. For Alison, or are you not sure?
Oh, she'll be captaining Cleary as well, I imagine.
And in my regular team, my vice captain and captain. I'm going to vice captain Pappy because he owes me one. He owes me one, and I don't care if they flog Parramatta, to be perfectly honest. I actually hope it's a 30-28 game Parramatta win because I've still got a bit of a soft spot for him. And Pappy gets the goal kicking after Nick Meaney scores the first try but hurts himself scoring the first try. And I'm going to captain Cleary. But I think I'll take anything over 100 with Ryan Pappenhausen at the moment. I think I just need to lock in some decent scores, and over 100 seems good to me. Yeah. What about you? So you're just Cleary and you don't know about the vice-captain?
I might have a throw at the stumps and see if Adam Fanua Blake might get a couple of tries against the hapless Tigers.
Yeah. Never know.
Never know.
Other thing he could get is shitloads less minutes.
Yeah, true.
Well, that's my fear with Barnett as well. They could get out to a lead. But I didn't think the Tigers looked terrible.
No, they didn't. No, so, they seemed to be in it for a while.
In it for a while, but... All right, so we had some success last week.
We did.
Mark, on the multi. So we're going to go again. Two in a row.
Yeah.
It's kind of going to be...
Kev was very happy.
It's going to be the champ. Well, Kev was very happy. So he had three single bets and he had a multi bet. So all up, Kev.
Well done, Kev.
Has had a pretty good win. And he's actually kept a bit of a running tally.
Has he?
Because he's been having the single bets as well.
Yeah, okay.
He actually said when you're getting two out of three, he's not going too bad.
Yeah, there you go.
So he's not a long way behind. He doesn't need many more turn a profit. And let's know Kev loves to turn a profit.
I've got three for you this week, Kev. We'll go again. So we're going to that first game of the week, the Warriors up against the Tigers. The Tigers concede a few tries to fullbacks. RTS at fullback, he looked, as I think I mentioned earlier, he looked pretty good. He was back to his beating six blokes in a phone box best.
And let's be honest, he's been playing for so long that half these 18 and 19-year-olds don't even know which foot he steps off.
Yeah.
So it could be a surprise for him, could, like early in his career.
Could be. So RTS to get a try, then we're going... So we got two on Friday night, then we're going to that Storm and Parramatta game. Parramatta just let tries into centres on both sides of the fields for fun. Nick Meaney, I was going to go Eli Katoa, but they typically score a bit wider against Parramatta when you look at the stats. So Nick Meaney for a try in that game, and then to Sunday up there at Suncorp at 4 o'clock. I think we both predicted a bit of a points fest in this one. I've got the Hammer for a try there. So those three, two of us are Sheck, Nick Meaney, and the Hammer, $7.08 for those three, or $7.89 with a boost, Kev.
Well, that's similar to last week.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So let's hope for some success. You win that one, and you're only realistically one more win away from being in the profit. You know?
Just coming home with a wet sail.
Wet sail, yeah. So that's really good. All right, that wraps us up, just the two of us this week. I hope we haven't gibbered along too much. We've given some people... It's a tough time because everyone's low on trade, so it's really tough to convince people who's a good trade and who's not. So I think I had the saying last year, trade when you have to, not when you want to. And that's really something that I'm going to say again. You have to get Nathan Cleary in, but you want to get Tom Trbojevic in. Okay, so if you're low on trades, there's your benchmark for this year. Thanks for coming, Mark.
Pleasure.
Thanks for that.